Hey, Nico.
Hey, Con.
I love you.
I love you.
No homo.
A little bit of homo for me.
Just a little?
Just a smidge. From two guys who were never part of the Boys Club, we want to welcome you to ours.
Welcome to Boys Club.
This is our podcast.
About boys.
And about other things.
Like their clubs.
And the things we were a part of.
Hockey.
And we're not a part of.
Bagels.
Wait, did you say we were a part of hockey?
No, I wasn't.
Me neither. Welcome to the club, boys.
Grab a bagel.
Connor's like, what do boys eat?
My feelings.
We're fucking going, bro.
We're fucking going, bro. What's up,
dude? It's
Connor?
So good to see you right now.
You look amazing. Let me just say that.
Can I tell you why?
It was chest day,
bro. First off, it's chest day.
First off.
Secondly, dude, I feel amazing. Like, I'm not trying to. I don't want this to be like a body podcast.
Right.
We have enough of those.
We did talk about that for season two.
But like, ever since I started to heal my chi, like, I feel literally. I'm sitting here with a kombucha, like, no more aspartame. Like, do you know that I used to have like 40 aspartame every morning, and used to is 6 days ago. Like, I feel amazing. I feel like I have so much hope and energy.
Okay.
You think
that's helping your gut?
I don't want to talk about my gut.
Okay.
I said my chi. I like it was kind of a noted change, a noted
well,
reduction.
I did suggest probiotics on the last podcast, so I'm glad that you went for it.
Pro, pre, postbiotic. Like, I'm looking at all the biotics over here. I'm fucking ready. Like,
that's good.
I love this. I have this kombucha called Living in Gratitude. I looked up kombucha Reddit, and no one agrees on whether it's good or not, but like, I like it.
Whether kombucha as a whole is good or this one specifically?
As a whole. That reminds me. Do you know how?
It is one of those things that I feel like is so like, it's so, like, pseudoscience.
I know.
Not in a bad way. I'm not coming for kombucha, nor totally. Am I coming for you. I think a lot of people, I don't care why people drink kombucha, but I think it is one of those things that there's, like the yoga, Pilates girls are very, like,
my psychiatrist
split on it. Yes.
That said, I don't need meds. I just need acupuncture and magnesium.
Can I ask?
And she wasn't wrong.
Because
like,
we didn't
amazing.
Get this into this last time. What did you...
Russian. She's Russian.
Sure, sure. But what did she... Like, how did she come to the conclusion that this is all you needed?
We just, like, had a conversation.
Okay.
Except for I told you... I kind of said this at the show a little bit. The thing with the conversation is I'm on my best behavior. Mm-hmm. I just met you.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think to really medicate someone, you probably should kind of follow them around, like, a day in the life. Like, you're making a documentary about them.
Yeah. You should have to wear a body cam all day, and then she should get that footage.
When I was 3, I felt left out because my brother was on the way. So I would always say that
sure.
I was, like, could hear my heart beeping. And then they pulled me out of daycare. Yeah, I was in daycare at 3. No one was around. Because my dad worked actually then. He didn't go stay at home until my younger brother came. And they took me into the doctor. I got a heart rate monitor that I got to like walk around in for like a week. And everyone would like stare at me. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm broken. Sorry.
It's like having a cast.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
If you don't break something, they'll always give you a heart rate monitor.
Okay. Well, on the topic of pro, pre, et cetera, that brings me to my boys club for this week.
Oh, dude, was it?
Which I kind of already told you about at the live show.
I was hoping
day.
You'd talk about this.
I thought we could talk about more. Okay, so I got an ad on another podcast, Arrival. Not really. It's not really. It's a soccer podcast, so it's not Arrival.
We are the opposite because I'm out here listening to How to Detach with Date Yourself Instead, and you're listening to a soccer podcast.
But there was an ad in the middle of the soccer podcast that was for a pre-alcohol like hangover cure, basically, like to get out ahead of a hangover. And I was just like, the supplements industry has gone so far that this is where we're at. And I don't give a fuck if people take that or not. I just found it really interesting because I was like, we live in such a puritanical world right now. Like, I just feel like this would get so much backlash. But I guess also, like, the health and food and supplement industry is kind of a free-for-all and nobody agrees on anything.
When I worked for that club owner, he had that
mm-hmm.
10 years ago,
which is wild. But I was making
Alan Cumming. We can say that. It was Alan. It's like, I'm a club
you
owner.
You just
so
said we're not going to say.
Can we keep that?
I don't care.
He uncut all around.
Uncut. Okay.
So that's a big thing.
That's how you win an Emmy though. Shout out to our boy, Alan Cumming. Didn't he win an
Shout
Emmy?
Out.
I think he won
did
an Emmy.
For Traitors.
For Traitors. That's right.
Which so Parvati won an Emmy in that sense too. Are you a Parvati guy? Don't answer.
You.
That was a trap. I'm just
Don't goad him into this. Okay, wait. But on the topic of that, would you have taken, do you think, in your heyday?
I ride for you, Charlie. Oh my God! I didn't even plan that.
Wow.
I was just going to say something nice.
Wait, another boys club is the Charlie concert, obviously.
Oh, wait, I was hoping that you'd bring that up
My
too.
Sister went. So
my brother's going.
Yeah.
So crazy that we both have siblings with 9-to-5s that like have the resources to get themselves there.
Soph got tickets through her friend through who got them through work, which again is something we don't have access
to. Wait, so like my gay brother and your straight sister are going, and it's like that's what that concert is. Mm-hmm. Like we are, they represent the whole concert.
We're too fringe.
It's them and Chloe
Sivigny. As a side and a trans guy, we're too fringe.
What would we do there? It's like, what are we going to do with that? Like we...
Be nervous.
We
I don't know.
Fringe.
I told you this, that there's a 7-year-old boy that I coach who said to me the other day, he goes, I love this band, Charlie XCX.
Oh my God.
His favorite song is 360. So
my favorite song is I Think About It All the Time.
And then I didn't know. I was like, I felt so old. I was like, do you listen to him on the radio? And then I was like, he doesn't listen to the radio. Am I 1,000? Like what?
No, they don't have radio.
Yeah, I was like, he was born in 2018 or something.
Which is crazy because like when I was in 7th grade or like maybe 6th grade, 5th perhaps, like my dad like let me make a playlist on his iPod.
Yes.
And it had like Same. Soak Up the Sun and All You Wanted by Michelle Branch and Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Like, but that was the F slur.
My mom used to do for like our birthdays and stuff. We would have like a sleepover and with our friends, and then remember there were like goodie bags at birthday parties?
Yes.
But the take home gift would be everybody would get to burn a CD from the iTunes. And so like if they're like we could make a playlist and then burn
that
a CD.
That was the thing people were doing is burning CDs.
Yeah. But she would know explicit had to be the clean version.
Not to age myself, but even in high school we were burning CDs. Is that crazy? I feel like we were.
I remember burning a CD because for the car.
For a Christian retreat.
Totally.
We had a Kairos CD.
Kairos.
Kairos lived the fourth. Speaking of Charlie. Wait, but you were talking about probiotics. I don't end that.
Well, all it was just that pre-alcohol thing I found really interesting.
I really could have used that.
I was going to ask, did you think in your heyday you would have
I feel partaken? Like I really, like maybe I wasn't an alcoholic. I was just dehydrated and missed the issue.
You just needed some electrolyte. But that's the other thing. I'm like, what is this giving?
Is that what's in it?
I don't know. It says it breaks down the enzymes. And it was like, don't let your next family party or birthday like get out of hand the next day. And I was like, what is this ad? It was so, it was like trying to really act like it wasn't for people that are binge drinking.
Wait, not to be it. I am sober for 8 years from alcohol.
Mm-hmm. That's why I came to you for this question.
So I just feel like no judgment to anyone ever, but like with hungover people, I have no patience for that. I have no patience. Well, this one girl in my class that I'm hungover, I said, get your life together. And I felt bad because it was her birthday.
Jesus Christ.
It took us like a year to recover.
I wonder why she's hungover. Yeah, I wonder why. Well, okay. I will say like, obviously like, I don't know. I feel like we biologically react to alcohol the way we do with hangovers.
Like poison.
Because it's poison. And because like our bodies are not necessarily supposed to take on an excess all the time. And I feel like there is a little bit of like a, maybe this is my inner Catholic coming out, but like a little like, you did what you did and now you pay the price.
But it also feels unfair on my behalf, and this is self-aware brag, is that I feel like it's like, why is it not okay for them to be hungover, but it's okay for me to be sad because I've given into the whim of anxiety.
Totally.
Or like decided to listen to Phoebe Bridgers, the whole album, even though I knew it was gonna make me sad, and now I'm sad.
Yeah.
I think most of being sad is like, turn off your sad music, get up. I know we don't totally agree on this because of bittersweet, but I actually do think sad music is making it worse. Put on 1989.
No, I agree with you. And move on. I mean, I agree that like, obviously, like if I'm not if I'm listening to Phoebe Bridgers, I'm going to be sad too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any boys clubs
for
this week?
Yeah, I have two. I'll make them really fast, but it might be. No, I think I saw Chapel Roan on the street. She was sitting there eating a pastry, wearing sunglasses and a scarf. Did I do a double take? I did, but I didn't want her to shoot me down the street. So
well,
I just kind of kept
moving.
Did
she have anybody with her?
No, I don't think that she would. She had the
same
arm tattoos.
Like, oh, really?
Okay, she had tattoos on her arm. She had tattoos on her arm. And Chapel has tattoos on her arm. Mm-hmm. And she looked mad at me. And Chapel would.
Red hair?
Of course. But she had a scarf over it. Like a scarf a woman would drive in the 50s. Like a driving scarf. A Joan Allen from The Notebook kind of scarf.
Yeah. I used to love that boy. What does she say?
I love your father, Allie. I do. When they're sitting there at the lumber.
Trouble. He's trouble.
Summer love is all it is. Trouble. Boy's got too much spirit for a girl. Her circumstance.
Yeah.
What a great.
Shout out to 2004's The Notebook.
Back when they were making movies.
But you were saying. about seeing Chaperone on the street.
And then I was like, well, this kind of does make sense because I do think that she's based like in LA, I believe, but I could be wrong. But she is in New York on Saturday, although she is in Maryland on Friday. But it's like, how long
is that this weekend?
Yes. But it's like, how long can you spend in Maryland? It takes 10 minutes to Cal Tip. Like, you can't be in there for like 3 days. You'd go insane.
Oh, I want to go to that so
bro,
bad.
Bro, I'll go with you. If you get tickets, I'll go.
I want to go so bad.
If you get tickets, I'll go.
I'll put another call out on my Instagram.
Don't you know? Don't. Maybe it'll work this time. We well, can't cut it. We can't. You can say it, but if you say it, that's going to be on the mic.
So I'm okay. I'll cut that.
No, no, no. That's not fair to you.
I want to cut it, but I'm trying to weasel my
way. We have to get whiteboards. We have to get whiteboards to hold up and write. Or it's just like a text thread.
We don't have to cut it.
We
need a Slack channel. We need,
okay, that would be amazing. Wait, the last thing I'm going to say is my other boys club is Halsey. I fucking love Halsey and I'm done apologizing for it. I think that when I was earlier in my 20s than I am now, I went on this date with this guy who worked in, his dream job of buying ads for at a publicist company, congratulations, media buying, woohoo, like where you make so little that you, whatever. But then he's like, oh, I have a lot of overtime. And it's like, that's not good. You don't want a job that's giving you overtime. You want the normal hours so you can go home.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I was in love with him. And his name was Austin, but we're not doing first name or last name. Good news, we never got there. So I don't even know what it is. Couldn't if I wanted to. And he was like, what music do you
if
like?
If he wanted to, he would.
If he wanted to, he would. If he wanted to give his last name, he would. And then he said, this is literally a couple years ago.
But you know how far away he is.
I know. Literally. It is crazy to go, whatever. And so I actually, are you on Grindr? Yeah. Once you pay the 65, you're like, now I'm trapped for the month. No, I can't delete it. You're just like, you're stuck in. Jeez. We're looking for financing, and it's like the call's coming from, look inside, look within.
It's a restructure of the budget.
That's a full gaffer, whatever that is. Like, totally. Wait, but anyway, so like, we went on this date, and then he's like, what music do you like? And then I was like, I like Halsey, and he like basically scoffed, like, that was crazy. And then he like, oh, wonder, because he was depressed. Yeah, oh, wonder. Like, okay, fucking loser.
Yeah, call me when it's 2016.
Yeah, what a fucking loser. Oh, my God. And then,
no
and
shade, I think, oh, wonder fans. Out
he
there.
Was such a cock that in that moment I think I learned to hide. I realized I was like, to be in this world you have to be a little bit less.
It's also like, why would you like? That's so rude.
It's so rude. And
people
I was
have no decorum on dating apps.
You have no decorum. And this is in real life. It was so rude. But I had such a low self worth at the time because it was like I was younger and
you were
like
listening to Halsey.
The problem with the Halsey is that people are going to come for you and you also don't have self-worth. So then it's going to be like, oh, it's the worst combination of things.
Yeah.
But I do fucking love Halsey. I ride for her. I think Badlands is an amazing album. I think kind of similar to Demi Lovato, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
And it's like, could you take a journal, a walk around the block? Like, get on meds, please.
Yeah.
But I do love her.
Yeah. No, you're right. Demi Lovato is always up to something.
Always up to something. It's just every song is like, I'm going to be okay or sober, but it's about being not sober or like relapse or like my mind is screaming.
You got to give it up to the artists who let us in the midst of a journey, you know, because so many people are. And, you know, you like to see those artists that are really opening a vein when it's fresh.
She really is. And it's like, you want to send her Skyscraper and be like, you are the one that told us this. Like,
true.
That you could use your own advice.
True. She's an amazing singer, too.
I know. Skyscraper almost feels like it would have been like the last song like that.
I also have to shout her out also for venturing into non-binary territory and then kind of getting right out of there.
Don't be afraid to dip your toe.
Don't be afraid to course correct because
You can wonder, like, every time, like, sometimes I really think it's like, am I non-binary? And I really go down that journey.
It's a spectrum.
And I think no. But, like, I really think about it. Dip your toe in. Imagine yourself moving through the world. Do we have to cut this? Because it's, like, offensive to not. Is it diminishing their journey?
No, I mean, there's obviously people who are earnestly non-binary, but that's a very expansive term.
Gender expansive.
In itself. Like, so, I don't know.
Speaking of non-binary. We're so excited for our guest.
Boys, we have an incredible guest this week who, to
you're our
my
first guest of season 2. I'm sorry.
Yes, our first guest, of,
our
season
first guest
two.
Of season 2.
Boys, we're so excited. This comedian is one of the funniest in the scene right now. We are such fans of his, and he has a great show, a half-hour show called Chardy.
The way
happening.
You said right now is so funny, because it's like they take it and they take it away or something like that. It's just like enjoy
right
the ride.
Now you're
I'm just saying we're bringing somebody hot off the press, okay? I'm
yes,
telling the boys
totally.
That they are in with us at the precipice. Okay. Anyway, Charlie has an incredible show called Chardy that is going to be his half hour at Night Horse in Greenpoint on October 3rd at 8 p.m. Boys, please welcome Charlie Flynn.
Hello. Welcome. I'm so excited to be here.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I've been spending this whole time thinking I'm really glad you don't film this podcast.
Yes.
Because the amount of like nodding and like kind of trying to like non-verbally be a part of your conversation for the last 10 minutes would be humiliating.
Free yourself from that.
You know what would be hell for the guest is if we just filmed the guest during our setup and just had to like, it's just 16 minutes of somebody nodding
I'm
and
literally
trying
doing, like,
not
aggressive
to
aggressive nods or like kind of winking to you.
It's hard because we like to do the little intro just to like get loose and like make the guest feel like they have things to talk about when they come in. But also,
do you feel that way?
Everybody Absolutely. Has the same reaction where they're like, I don't know how to participate in this conversation.
Or they'll throw themselves in and then we're like, okay.
I was
you
tempted
say
to that,
do that
a
but,
few times.
Well, you were tempted and he helped. So
yeah, you did fully ask me questions.
Wait, you're Which sitting like a youth pastor in like a hot way.
Thanks.
You should sit like that more.
What, crotch open? Just
yeah.
Spread,
like
Yeah, that is a power
spread
stance.
Eagle.
You sit like it's too. Like 10 p.m. and you're at the startup that you founded and you're like kind of like pedal to the metal.
Connor's been telling me recently that I look like a founder.
I do think you could be a founder. We're all founders
we'll
a little bit.
We're all founders of our own
I mean, our own
brand.
Little LLCs.
Yes. Our own destiny.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a founder of Charty, your brand.
Founder of Charty, my brand, yeah.
Do you know anybody that went to Charlie XCX?
I do know some gay guys who went to Charlie XCX. I think my gay brother might be going in Baltimore.
God damn, we all have siblings going.
Wait, let's talk about that for the rest of the time.
Our gay brothers?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to it.
How old? Yours is. Don't say your age and don't say whether they're older, but what is the age of your brother?
What is the age of my brother?
Yes.
My brother's 28.
Oh, we should swap.
I know, right?
Do you want to date my brother?
Yeah, we talked about it.
He's so healthy.
But is your brother in D.C.?
Yeah.
My brother's in D.C.
Well,
so maybe they
that
should
doesn't
date.
Do me any favors. So I don't know.
I know.
That's interesting. Like, I went on this date with this, like, one guy who was, like, kind of too young for me. But part of me was like, you should date my brother. But I didn't
Yeah. No, I've never had that feeling.
Connor's like, I've got somebody just like me, just a little younger.
Wait, but it would be weird forever.
Probably.
It would be weird forever.
If you fucked, yes. But if you didn't, I think you'd probably... Okay,
wait, it's
well.
Funny because he said, I don't consider this sex. And I was like, oh, you're going to hate learning that I'm a side. Because this is it.
This is the beginning and the end
of it.
As far
as I go.
Weird that he went out of his way to say that, actually.
Wait, speaking of which, did I misunderstand or do you pay $65 for Grindr?
It might be $39.99.
Okay.
I think it's $39.99. No, only when I wanted... Oh, yeah, I am, actually. I wanted to send more than one expiring photo because I'm a public figure.
I see.
And... So I just don't think that we should be... I mean, you can release nudes, but I just don't want to release nudes right now.
Totally, because your profile's growing.
You have to wait for the optimal time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, wait for the right time. Do it for charity.
Don't want to end up on guyswithiphones.com.
Oh my God, is that a website?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Connor's going to be thinking about that for the rest of the day.
Can we go on that now?
You want?
I'll pull it up on the TV.
That's something I knew about, like, 10 years ago. I don't know if it still exists.
Yeah.
Wait, so your brother, who is gay, don't say where he works, but where does he work? Whisper it. He works for the government?
He does work for the Senate.
I feel like if you are in D.C., that's probably what you're affiliated to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he works
it
for the government.
It seems like government
My
lobbyist.
Brother works with the...
But of course, like, he works in communications, like, so he finds
like,
a way to...
Like
my brother,
guy, yeah.
too. He works kind of with the flight attendants, and it's nice to have a gay guy working for women for once.
Well, that's like my brother's dream. He's always like, if I... gave it all away, I'd be a flight attendant. He used to be obsessed with this.
Really?
There's this one
I feel
show.
Like that's another place where gay guys find
to be
themselves.
Clear,
gay
he's doing press for flight attendants.
No, I know. Like, I know your brother's not
no
a flight attendant. No.
No, but it's okay if you are.
No, I understood that. I understood that.
No, but you can be. You're allowed to be a flight attendant.
He works for the flight attendant union?
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
And that's the last thing I can say about his job. But it's like kind of a, he works at like a, you know, how PR works.
I feel like I met someone recently whose like sibling worked for the flight attendant union. And I was like,
was it me?
I don't know, but I just said it's a very powerful union.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of an opposite of a boys club. A boys club in its own right. But, okay, wait, so we were talking about Charlie. We were talking about Halsey. Does Halsey speak to you at all?
Halsey, I kind of missed the boat on Halsey. Halsey was always kind of like around me.
That
like,
was a microaggression with age.
No, that's not what I mean. That's
the boat, by the time you were 18, the boat was gone.
That's not what I mean. Halsey's still around. Halsey's releasing an album like soon. But Halsey was never quite, like I never quite latched on to Halsey.
She has an album called Mania or Manic.
So which is it? You're the fan.
No one's like a big fan.
No.
You can be a bit, that would be a red flag, but I enjoy her work.
I saw her in Maxine. Thought she was insane in that.
An actor?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I didn't know she was in that.
She was in that. She was like the friend of Maxine who gets killed first, but she like does the craziest.
Spoiler alert!
I feel like she's low key always popping up in like random roles like that.
She's like, "Hey, Maxine, what are we gonna do this weekend?" And then like two scenes later,
hey,
she's
I'm
like
Halsey.
Dead in a ditch.
Her energy is wait. It's also speaking of that, like Phoebe Bridgers, little bit in I Saw the TV Glow, and
I just watched that movie.
Miley Cyrus a little bit in what's that lesbian movie? Where they're on the road.
Love Lies Bleeding?
No, the other one. The worst road. One.
Oh, I know.
There was this movie that I saw when I was in Puerto Rico for like one night. Literally, I was there for one night and I went to the movies by myself.
It was a lesbian movie.
How recently?
And it had Jack Antonoff's wife in it and Miley Cyrus and Matt Damon.
Oh, Driveaway Dolls.
You're incredible.
Yeah.
You're a genius.
Oh, right. I didn't know any of those people were in
it. Miley Cyrus was in it. It was a pretty bad movie.
I never saw it.
And I'm not a film critic. It was really bad.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't great.
Not to be a film critic on
Pod.
Sorry
to anybody who's affiliated.
That was like one of the
Cohens, to make something.
Right?
It
is a feat to make
You were in theaters? That's amazing. How was it? I don't know. It was in theaters. Yeah. That's all we can say.
Literally.
It got to the Puerto Rican theaters.
And that's all the only place it played.
I cut you off. You were saying something so important.
Certainly wasn't because I don't remember.
Wait, what was the other thing? Oh yeah, we were talking about that pre-alcohol thing. Do you think you would take such a thing?
I kind of think hangover is a myth. Like I know that it's probably real.
Yeah.
But I think everyone exaggerates it for attention. You
totally.
Know what I mean? I'm sure like after
and to
this,
get out of things.
Yeah, and to get out of things. And obviously I've done that too. Like I'm so hungover.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm like, you really can't move. Like you really can't just like get up and go.
Do you have any Irish in your?
Oh, does Charles Patrick Flynn have any have any Irish in him?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because so
got
do
nothing
I,
but Irish.
And so does Connor. So I think we all are kind of built different in that way.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. I think the ancestors passed down some good potato soaking Irish genes.
Yeah, but some other bad genes.
Yeah, totally. Like being like get up and potatoes. Fucking suck it up in your hangover. Yeah. Yeah.
Where in Ireland is your family from?
I have no real idea. We always say Cork,
sure.
But I think that's maybe just where the boat left from.
Did yeah, you see that movie either, with Saoirse Ronan?
Saoirse.
I cannot do an Irish accent. It sounds
Brooklyn?
So Indian every time. Yes, did you see that?
Yes, I did. I love that movie. That's a beloved movie.
I saw the movie three times in theaters by myself.
That's beautiful.
Waiting for my.
I haven't seen that one actually.
I love
it's
the ending,
real
but
good.
I've heard about it. It's been on my like radar for and list for a long time. I need to watch
the ending. I think about it for two reasons. One time because remember how she's on the boat and then she like throws up and has diarrhea the first time. Can't relate to that. And then
not
someone
this.
Mine would come out clean.
Her gut is a mess. Gross. 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 Gross.
Not after a probiotic.
And then they needed kombucha. They needed the thing with the boat from Ireland is there was no kombucha.
Get Saoirse some booch.
Get the Irish immigrant some kombucha.
It's like the least of their worries. And then someone's like, here's how you survive the boat. And then later she was on the boat again. And then some other girl was like shitting her brains out. And she's like, what you're going to do is this. And I think about that every time there's like a coming of age. Like you teach, remember when you taught me how to add the intro to the podcast? It was like that. And now with our intern, I'll teach the intern how to add the intro. And it's like, yes.
The circle of
teaching
tech.
A fish. You're teaching a man to fish.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. movie like notoriously makes all the men in my family cry, which of course isn't hard because we're all gay, but and my dad who's spiritually but
your dad did such a great job.
Oh my god, don't I know it. But he not he that book,
they your dad
my dad they. But Brooklyn the book is based on Brooklyn or Brooklyn the movie is based on Brooklyn the book and they,
by Colm Tobin I said that right
something like
came
that.
From the spirit my ancestor's spirit my grandfather's like birthday Tobin. Is more actually
oh really
wait but it doesn't matter it kind of is related to my head but not into the actual
wait,
conversation we're having
related
no no
head.
No because he is from Ireland and I think possesses a lot of qualities of Irish sad drank yeah. maybe a lot but not in a bad way
yeah,
I don't mean that in
yeah,
a bad
yeah,
way
yeah.
No judgment. But like he was kind
he
of a guy.
He could use the pre-alcohol, I think.
He was a really hard-working guy who kind of knew his
work
way around
hard,
a bottle.
Play hard.
Yeah. That's okay.
It sounds like all of my grandparents.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like yeah. Irish.
It's okay
folk.
To be flushed.
Yep.
It's okay.
Totally, totally.
A little color in that
I remember,
pale
like,
Irish skin.
My grandparents in like their final days, like in the, or my grandfather in the, his like his final days was still like sneaking in like gin to the retirement home.
Good
like
for him.
To the nursing home.
Good for him.
My
go out how you came in.
In
exactly,
his final days,
exactly.
He was on chemo, so he got really skinny and I was had an eating
jealous.
Disorder at the time.
Yeah.
So people were like, oh my God, he has Connor's nose. And then no one knew until he was chemoed up. And the other part of Brooklyn I think about all the time is the very end when they say there's this like I actually recorded it one time years ago and then would listen to it on my phone all the time where it's just like and then one day she's like at the end and then one day you'll find yourself thinking about something that has nothing to do and no tie and no relation to the past, and you'll realize that that is where your life is.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's a lot beautier, more beautiful in the movie.
That movie, I'm going to keep talking about that movie because they famously meet in like a, like dance, like yeah. a little like church dance in that movie. That's how my
girl
grandparents
church.
Met at girl church. My Aww. Grandparents met at girl church and then they went to have a hamburger.
in where, Virginia?
In Boston.
Boston, yeah.
Or the Irish.
How did they make it down to Virginia?
My dad's from Boston and my mom is from Pennsylvania. And,
which part?
Lancaster.
And from the Philadelphia suburbs.
Oh, girl, I know. You're a mainliner.
I love when a gay guy calls me girl. But I love that.
But then they both were working in D.C. and met in D.C.
In government.
Not in government. They were working... they are addicted to like kind of like nonprofit shit. They were working for the National Cable Television Association.
That's government.
Wow. Which is basically government. It was like a lobbying.
Association and national.
Yeah.
Two government words.
But my mom iconically used to work for the Captioning Institute, which was like when they
Institute,
were...
Institute, government. Institute.
When they were trying to get closed captioning on TV. So like she would like have accounts of trying to like get shows captioned basically before it was required that shows were captioned. So her big claim to fame was always that she got Oprah captioned.
Wow.
Like that was her deal that she did.
Wow. Good yeah. for her. Well,
I want that movie.
From this tale, I'm not surprised that they have three gay sons if I'm...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, just three?
Two gay sons.
And then a girl.
And a girl in the middle who's kind of spiritually...
My bad. Yeah. You have three gay sons.
I'm three gay.
Nobody has outgayed you yet.
No. Someone said they did. I forget who it was, but I...
Nine
but they're not
gay
famous.
Sons.
Can I also say... Speaking of which, the first show I ever did in New York, Connor Janda was on.
What was it? Oh, my God. I just got my heart broken. Wait, season two? Season two, I was literally like, don't bring up anything related to the past. But like, honestly, fuck it. Bring it up more. Charlie.
Someday you will be sitting somewhere experiencing something and the past will be behind you and you'll know that's where you were.
Wait, you honestly should. It's so moving. It's so moving.
I'll watch it.
I actually think that right now Teacher America but a little bit. Wait,
what was this show?
It was Tits to the Glass at the Skinny.
Right.
But I remember, I didn't think you liked me very much, but that makes sense just because you were not in a good place.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I didn't think you liked me very much.
Oh, well, we both love each other now.
I saw you not that long ago at Club Coming and you were kind of like, I was like, oh, you'd like want me to die. I forget what show it was. I did really well. I forget what it was. So was it last Sunday?
This is good.
I've never wanted you to die. I only want you to live.
I only want you to live.
I feel like this is a pretty common.
It's hard for gay guys.
It's hard for gay
guys. It is. People perceive us to be sassy.
Yeah.
Or that we're sizing each other up. And it's actually like, I'm actually shy. And yeah. You probably are too. You're like waiting for, whether it's from all men or from gay. I think it's honestly a gender. Like it's from all men.
Yeah.
Do you have maybe a fear of men?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Like, I don't hug you that much. That should be extremely gender affirming. Do you know what I mean?
But you don't hug me that
like,
much.
Like, I'll hug people that are women that I'm way less close to than you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for gender affirming me with lack of physical touch.
But on that show, I remember it was my first show. Like, my first joke that I had ever written was about, like, having a gay brother. And you went up and you were first and you were telling jokes about, like, having a gay brother. And I was like, there it goes. I'm done. I'm done in this city. There's someone else who has my story.
No, Charlie, no one has your story.
Thank you. And no one has yours.
Thank you.
No one can take that from us.
That is the worst, though, to be, like, up on a show and then somebody's doing any material that's even, like, kind of related. And you're like, well, I'm fucked. Yeah. Now this is over.
Yeah, I was, like, scrambling in my head, like, how do I acknowledge?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in a really dark place.
I remember seeing you sitting on the stairs outside afterwards.
Alone?
You were like looking at your phone. It was like, great show.
Tessa Bell walked her. Tessa Bell was a really good friend to me that day.
Is that when you got pizza?
Yes, with Tessa Bell.
Wow.
Tessa Bell, I went in, Martin Urbano bought.
Stacked lineup.
Yeah, stacked lineup of names we're not going to take off. No, he wasn't on.
He wasn't on the show.
We ran into him outside.
Oh, okay.
And then
he was coming from the cellar.
He bought us. He had just gotten that job, and he bought us pizza in cash, and I ate pizza for a photo, and because I wanted hot pictures. And then Tessa Bell and Martin Urbano stood there and took pictures of me that I could post to show how good I was doing.
Yes,
but I was doing bad.
Yeah, and that's when you need to post most.
Do you want to know when I'm doing good? Right now, and that's why I'm not posting because I'm doing good. I'm recording a podcast.
Yeah.
With a gay guy.
Okay. Yeah. So
full circle. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we got into I'm trying to think of our origin story. We've run into each other we live near each other. I won't say where. We live near each other.
You were on the first show I ever produced.
Yes, I was on
a terrible random show called Cave Paintings.
Yes, 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 yes. Was that at Easy Lover?
It was at BCC.
BCC.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it was the main stage.
Unfortunately, people have to find their way through.
Can someone use that room? Here's what that room was designed to be. Sorry, this event. We're not getting this. Can someone just do a prom in there and call it a day?
Yeah, no, I'll go on record calling the BCC out for their space. It's not good. I don't care. It's
lower the ceiling.
Figure something out. Like
or lower the stage.
Out of floor.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Like anything to just get. Yeah. But that's right. I did. That was. Yeah. That's right. You and Amelia did that show.
Yeah.
My
mom still talks about you. She loves
you. Oh, that's very sweet. That's sweet that she came too. Yes. And then I feel like we've like just run into each other a bunch in the scene. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now that we have our origin stories, We haven't done this in so long. You're our first guest in a long time.
What's a boys club?
Really? You forget the questions already?
You can pick any. You can do any order.
Connor is throwing a wrench into the format for season two.
Wait, we haven't done this in so long.
What's me?
Okay.
I want your order.
What's the boys club? Usually we do what's one that you're not in first to give hope to people because it builds.
The boys club that I'm not in, I decided was the 80s. I hate the 80s.
Okay, I like that you're saying this because I grew up hating the 80s too, so say more.
I hate the culture of the 80s. I think it's maybe because like my parents are older, and so all of like my parents weren't teenagers in the 80s, but all of like the kids I grew up with, a lot of their parents were like teenagers and young adults in the 80s.
Microaggression. So,
well, I'm sure our parents are the same age.
What number?
Wait.
I don't know what the fuck that was.
In the 60s.
They're in the 60s. Oh, yeah. My parents are in their 60s.
My parents, too.
Yeah.
But my grandfather, never mind, go on. I was going to say he died at a certain age, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I just have, I feel like I've noticed it more recently, but always I've just had this strong, like, reaction against, like, the culture of the 80s.
Like the clothing, the style.
The clothing, the style, the music, the movies. Like, obviously there's exceptions to the rule, but just, like, generally I feel like it's such a dark time. I feel like part of it is to, like, gay guys had other things going on that they had to worry about. So they weren't really like, they were either like dying or taking care of their friends who were dying.
Totally.
So they weren't really like making the movies. So all the movies really sucked. And sorry, I shouldn't say sucked. My mom would be mad.
Because sucked is bad.
And one time.
Sexual?
No, just because it's like, you don't say suck, you don't say crap.
My dad thought that it was a little homophobic that I said Chris Cuomo can suck a fat cock.
I like that he is calling us out.
I know.
That's full circle. That's the kind of work we're doing here. We're getting so subversive.
I said I meant it
fathers
nice.
Fathers of gay sons.
I was trying to like give him an opportunity, give him a job opportunity.
It's actually funny though, because my, I remember one time watching the show, the TV sitcom, The Goldbergs with my parents.
Yeah,
that famously takes place in the
80s.
And one of the kids said something sucked. And my mom goes, they wouldn't say sucked in the 80s. They didn't say sucked in the 80s.
She should be in the room.
I know.
My junior prom date wrote on that for a minute. But then,
oh, really?
Well, I can't say anymore. Yeah.
Oh. I wish you would.
Well, it's interesting you say that. So I feel like I have a similar but opposite reaction because my parents were in their teens in the 80s, mm-hmm. I think. Like middle, you know, it's a decade. So I guess they were probably like, they graduated high school in like 87. Mm-hmm. So they were like kids, young adults in the 80s, and I always felt like it was my little like rebellious sort of child instinct to be like, I don't like what you like.
I don't like
listening to the 80s music, and I think the hair is crazy and stuff. But I had never really put it together until you just said that like it is like something about the 80s is very straight, and it's probably because queer people had other things going on. And yeah,
and I feel like all the culture that came out of the 80s is the stuff that has like the stuff that like a really small, like, micro generation of, like, straight guys got obsessed with and never let go.
Yes.
And they're still obsessed
with Reagan,
it.
Bush, Reagan, Bush. Yeah.
They're still obsessed with it now. So that's, like, we've been rehashing all of the culture. All of our culture for the last, like, 10 years has been, like, revamps and rehashing of, like, the 80s. Like,
totally.
We've wrung all of the IP out of the 80s now.
We totally have, yeah.
And I'm just trying to walk us into election talk. So this is, like, cultural.
Please.
But
you got a decent
Bush, Reagan, because Trump, what's weird about the Trumpism is that it is, like, a lifestyle.
Totally.
Like a lifestyle brand.
It's a cult.
Yes, it's a cult in a way where it's like, oh, Bush Reagan is like that. Like, and I don't know if it was at the time,
yeah.
But like no one's wearing a Clinton Gore shirt like to the gym, but like Bush Reagan, people like,
what gym are you going to? I'm seeing Clinton Gore shirts.
I need that. I would literally get off on that. But like, so I don't know, like, but that feels like a whole straight boy culture from the 80s,
It's always worn by a guy who probably has no fucking idea what happened in that administration.
No,
it's just, it's such a like a just like a dog whistle for like,
that's really
now.
Fucked up. Yeah. I bet you that random people, because when you say Reagan, my brain immediately goes to AIDS. I'm sure everyone in those rooms does. I'm sure Sam even in there does. Like all of the, everyone's like, yeah, AIDS. And but I bet there are all these like loser. If your brain doesn't go to AIDS, that's you have privilege and you you die.
I mean, there's also a bazillion other things the Reagan administration did to fuck us with. Like, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know all of them off the top of my head. But I just
trickle
know
down.
That.
But they're bad.
Down is bad. Yeah.
Trickle down.
They're gonna go and be bad.
Yeah.
They're gonna go ahead and be bad.
Yeah. But that's, what do you feel about the '80s? Do you dislike
the rise of the moral right that we're still seeing today?
Mm-hmm. It's Reaganism.
Yeah, that's right. I took eighth grade history, and Eileen
honestly,
Flanagan.
I'm impressed that they taught you that much.
Yes, no, she was, Eileen Flanagan was my eighth grade history teacher, and I think she's unwell now because this was a couple years ago, but she was incredible. I learned so much. I learned about Nellie Bly, muckraking. I learned about Animal Farm. I learned about the meat industry. So much.
Upton Sinclair, The Jungle.
Of course,
my God.
Of course.
Did you have her? Eileen Flanagan. She's amazing.
Charlie
but
actually
I wish
knows
I had.
You from your
she's
school.
Oh, Eileen, yes.
Reveal Charlie was at
one leg longer than the other, Eileen.
Her classroom was in like a little...
That needs more. That was hilarious.
She
I
was
wish
funky.
I had like a little... right now, that's so funny.
Her... You just... I wish you could take it and use it as a joke. Sometimes you can find jokes on here. Sometimes you say it and you're like, oh, that's why I was on stage.
I know.
But that one, I feel like, I can follow you around and set it up for you.
I was listening to Evan's shows. Episode on the way here, and I was like, oh, yeah, there's three things that Evan now has jokes about that they started on Boys Club.
That is true. That sometimes it's like a nice way to just like ramble and like you find stuff. But yeah, her classroom was in a chapel that, like a little chapel that I would kind of call the stage. And she, because they like didn't have enough classrooms.
Oh, I forgot. We were talking about Catholic school. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah, we were in Catholic school.
Yeah.
But she, rise of moral right.
Yeah.
Very straight. But then
She's obviously coming back in a big way.
Yeah. I've always been, yeah. And I think that that's kind of like that hijacking of that Republican Party has like never changed. Like that is always, it's like, I think my understanding of that party is that all of that goes back to the 80s. Like that's that shift.
Yeah.
And like the evangelical. Mm-hmm.
Well, taking it from like, I mean, I'm sure this has always been happening. Like using moral issues as a scapegoat for moving financial things around in a way that helps the rich and fucks the poor has always been what they do. But I feel like that administration sort of like set the stage for what we have now, which is, they're constantly using moral issues as scapegoats to just keep power and not ever actually have anything happen.
It was the culture wars. It's like the origin of the culture wars.
Right.
Was like now all of a sudden all the media that we use is not monocultural, but it's like taking sides.
Yeah. Which is, it goes back to the fucking 80s.
The fucking 80s.
And it's, but as, so actually it's funny that you say this because like last night on Facebook, I don't know why I joined this. I joined this like group. I don't know how this got to my desk, but I joined this group called like 70s, 80s gay life in New York.
Mm.
And it's just like pictures.
Were you trying to cry? Like,
I don't know. Some of it's, what's funny is they don't talk about, a lot of it is about AIDS. And a lot of it is like, so-and-so we lost so-and-so to the virus in 91. Yeah. And then a lot of it is joy. Mm-hmm. And I think the 70s were a ton of joy.
Yeah.
Studio 54 is in this era. Yeah. It Elton John, like there's a lot going on, but yeah, it's hard to, I feel like I've always had a fascination with like AIDS and like documentaries of AIDS. And I used to watch like news clips on YouTube of just like real life, like literal local news, but like so-and-so about AIDS. Cause it's just like fascinating. And it's like, you can see yourself in those people.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah. Did you read The Great Believers?
No, I haven't.
It's, oh my God, I have two copies, but one's my mom's, but I'll give you one. And then she doesn't have any now, but I'll give you one. It's like about AIDS in Chicago.
Ooh.
And well, it's not about AIDS, it's about life.
Is it fix or non?
It's the one that's true. No, not true. It's the one that's not true.
Fix.
It's fix.
Okay.
It's fix.
So she taught you a lot, but she didn't teach you that.
But not that.
That you didn't take away from me. Well, I guess if you go to a Catholic school, they're like, well, this isn't fiction because the Bible's true.
Yeah.
No fiction here.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally.
I do think I have had a bit of a, like, because I feel like when I was reacting to bring it back to like 80s stuff with my parents, I was like very, I don't know. I was just being rebellious and a kid and just being like, oh, I don't like this, whatever. But I do feel like I've had a little bit of a comeback on like 80s music. I feel like they're definitely.
Yeah.
I've had a little, but the style and like the, it's not really for me. Like the big bright color. I feel like we had that in like, I don't know, like 2012 to 2016. There was a lot of like neon again.
The 80s is bad, but like the 2010's version of the 80s is like even
yeah,
worse.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
Like, it's so ahistorical and it just like looks terrible.
Yes, yes. And it's, you're so right. And I feel like it was like we were all, at least I can speak for myself here, like hitting it at a time where it was like, I'm going to wear these Nike socks yeah. that are crazy colors.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nike Elites.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the rage.
Having
in my
every
school.
Color. Yep. Did you have Nike Elites ever? Do you know those socks?
No.
They were the socks that
like Nike Pro.
They're like Nike, like they're like this length, but then they had like the little, like it would be like two color tone. It would be like a main color, and then there would be like three little yeah. colors on the back.
I missed sock culture.
I never wore them because I knew better, but
good for you. I definitely didn't and was wearing them constantly. Yeah, I was kind of yeah. fitting my sporty vibe.
I was
going to
say, for you, I think it probably would have worked better than
yeah,
it
yeah, it was fitting my sporty vibe, I will say that, but it's not in hindsight. I mean, I had so many stupid color ones.
Well, yeah, that yeah. was the thing, was that like every week there was like a new colorway that like yeah. people wanted or just, yeah. I had a lot of friends who were really obsessed with the Nike Pros.
Yeah.
I'm worried
yeah.
this is an age thing, and I worry that I should have just said yes. I did have those.
It's like the 30 Rock when Jack's like testing Jenna Maroney on her age. What's a drive-in?
That's funny.
Sorry.
We love her.
That no one cares
Jenna
about.
Maroney is really important to my development.
Very yeah. important to me. Yeah, huge for me.
I love yeah. the love 30 Rock. Yeah.
And I wanted every character to be Jenna Maroney.
Yeah.
I wanted all Jenna Maroney.
Yeah, that's like kind of like when we've talked about too, like in Search Party, how if we had it our way, we would just like take out John Early and
Meredith
Hanger. Sorry, Hanger, yes, and just
so
let
so
just watch the
show.
Two of them the whole time. Yeah, because
I used to watch YouTube compilations of just those two. Yeah, like yeah. I don't care about this murder. I don't care about Chantel Witherbottom. I care about
Chantel Witherbottom. She was funny too.
Chantel was great. In
that's also just an iconic name for a crazy woman character, yeah. Chantel Witherbottom.
And it's very fitting.
I watched that whole show when I was recovering from top surgery, and it's kind of all a blur, but yeah, my most like
all
seared
the seasons?
Memories yeah
oh
my
God.
Seared memories of it are all of John Early and Meredith Hanger.
Yeah, the funniest really thing about that show is that like there's one season where like half of the season is just like Cola Scola
yeah.
kidnapping her
yeah.
and you think like, okay, it can't get crazier than this, and then the next season it's like a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah. And it's also like that season that like I love Cole, and it lingered a little bit for me, just like the amount of time they spent in yeah. that storyline. But because it was kind of giving, I was like, was this like filmed during the pandemic and y'all had to be in one set? Like, why was this going on? But I don't know. Anyway,
I really love. Okay, I know that the relationship, like a gay guy, straight girl relationship, like I know that I think in a lot of ways that can be whatever, like boring and like done, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like in terms of those on television, I love a lot of them. And I think
when it's
one
done
is
well,
that.
It's done well.
One is Ugly know? Betty.
Mark
and
Amanda.
Like that to
Wait,
me.
Wait, is that Mark and Delicato?
No.
No.
He was Justin. He was a child on that show.
Oh, was he? Okay. I was going to say he was probably young when he filmed
yes.
that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's so. Oh my God. The season one finale when Justin's dad dies. Never mind.
My favorite episode of television.
Story.
You know what you should do today? You can have access to my dad's whatever login you need for this.
Sure.
I want you to watch episode 4, season 1 of Ugly Betty. It's
okay.
called Faye's Sleigh Ride, and I think it's the best. Do you remember where they're trying to figure out who at the party like outed the information about
yes.
this shoot? That to me, and then it's like a witch hunt. That to me is the best episode of television that was ever made.
I have not rewatched that show. Like, of course, my family was watching it while it was on.
Yeah. It doesn't hold up all the way through, no offense.
But it's supposed to be like telenovela, like
yes.
kind of soapy vibes. But the, Mark and Amanda
was they were
everything.
So important, and like yeah. there weren't that many gay guys on TV at the time, so like I don't know, like I think any representation
yeah.
at all you'd like cling to.
Totally,
there's trans representation, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, Rebecca Romijn plays a trans woman.
I'm sorry. I'm
well,
sorry.
Also, Hilary Swank played a trans man in a really tough movie. So I mean, there's you know
in Hillary Clinton's great. America. That's what you're saying.
At some point, Rebecca Romijn like cuts Judith Light's brakes on her car.
Did she die?
Yeah, that's very soapy.
Something like that.
It's super
crazy.
Soapy.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's so well done.
It's one of those shows that I like, and I knew it to be like America Ferrera's like sort of big break kind of,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
like, so I knew that like that's where sort of like her career kind of began, but I've never actually seen it.
Well, I guess she did Gotta Kick It Up before that.
Si Se Puede.
Si Se Puede.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I have a notebook and a Reese's cup? That's the first line of
I feel like.
And she was in Sisterhood.
What sister? Oh, the traveling pants. Oh, you're right. You're
right. Oh, duh.
And Real Women Have Curves.
Okay, so
right?
I'm totally wrong on that. That was her. But I knew Ugly Betty was her vehicle,
yeah.
show, and then yeah, yeah.
Lindsay Lohan's on it. Did I make that up?
No, I think she is. That was like the big show to like guest star on.
Yeah, I know that. Obviously, like it's they're making her, you know, did they give her braces or something? Or like make her ugly, but like she's gorgeous.
My gay brother
wait till you watch
my gay brother was ugly buddy for Halloween 1 year in like fifth grade.
They really uggo her up.
He made a poncho that said Guadalajara.
Good for
that's
her.
Really she showed up to work her first day in the poncho.
Yeah,
that's funny.
The me that so the way it starts, Becky Newton in that as a character actor is like the best.
Yeah,
so funny.
Yeah,
and the way it starts kind of fucked up. Well, I mean it's funny, but like the. It's like a nepo baby is running the company, mm-hmm. and he keeps hiring hot assistants that he sleeps with. So then his dad makes him hire America Ferrera, mm-hmm. so he won't sleep with her, which is like, whatever. And
Daniel Mead, you rascal.
And the rest is history. Mead, yeah.
That's a fun premise.
It is fun.
I love really that.
And you know, it's based on like an actual telenovela.
Yes.
Yo Soy Betty La Fea.
Which I think is maybe... There's one running through the show a lot. Like they always have one in the background.
I think it's,
that's cool.
Yeah,
because then there's like there's so many. It was very queer. Like very it was queer. Very like there's a gay. Mark Nellicott is a gay mm-hmm. kid in it, whose dad is really straight, but mm-hmm. is like taking him to see dad. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
His dad dies.
His dad dies.
The thing with like his dad is he does die.
His dad dies when he's trying to help like a bodega that he's in from being he's trying to stop them from being robbed while
oh my
he's
God.
Getting, I think, flowers to go to his son Justin's performance of West Side Story.
Oh my God.
And then at the moment when whatever Justin's character dies is when his mom, Hilda, gets the news.
Oh, God.
Like from the audience, and she goes out into the hallway and she starts, oh my God, it's so good.
Wow, this is a telenovela.
If my lover dies at my son's production of West Side Story, maybe wait till the end.
Yeah,
maybe literally. Give me the end. What am I going to do about it? Like, it's over.
We're not even to intermission. Jesus.
Maria. So
okay. Should we do our next boys club?
What's one you're not in, you are in?
For this, I'm thinking film bro. I'm kind of...
You're not a film... Oh, you are.
No,
in.
I am.
I literally...
I just did the one I'm not.
I'm so shocked. You need to brush up.
Yeah, Jesus. You need to remember what this podcast is all about. Okay.
You are film bro. Wait, I just like want... I want everyone to know, like, you're wearing, like, a nice hat and, like, a flannel and a shirt tucked into your jeans. Like, you look like a film bro.
Yeah, I can't help it.
But I like that. You're an INTJ.
I'm an INTJ. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to start...
Connor calls him like he sees him.
I think when I first took it, when I was,
that's
like,
my soulmate.
When I first... hey, girl. Well, your soulmate wouldn't call you girl.
I know.
When I first took it, like, in high school...
You also wouldn't call me kid, I've recently learned, but go on.
Who called you kid?
Wait, that kid's hot.
This tall guy from...
No!
I struggle with kid.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I don't think I would like to be called kid.
I think it would really have to come in the exact right context, but nah, I don't think it's a sexual
word. I think I only even think of it as hot because film bro, like, Casablanca, like, yeah. Here's looking at you, kid.
Yeah, and I also feel like it's, like this, I mean... If we're to pull back the subtext of the like a 19, what are you doing, kid? Like,
yeah,
it's like
yeah,
that
yeah.
probably was
yeah.
a kid and he was 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think what I like about it is that there's a level of enchantment to being called kid, that you're enchanting someone and they think you're just kind of like, oh, I'm the rabble rouser with my hair down. I'm trying to unionize over at the ladies' room. And it's like, okay,
I'm trying to unionize the over at the ladies' room.
That's where the flight attendants do their best work.
And he's like, oh, there's my kid. There she goes. And
there she goes.
Okay, yeah.
So have you been a film bro like for most of your life, or when did you kind of find yourself in this boys club?
I would say like I've always been kind of interested, but I never really like took the plunge. And then in college, I took a few film classes.
Yeah.
And I was an American Studies major in college.
Weren't you too?
I was a minor.
Yeah,
you were an American
you
Studies
know
minor.
So much about
girl,
me.
Wait, what was your major?
I double majored in English and political science, and I double minored in communications and American studies because I felt like I wasn't enough.
He double minored because he
Phoenix.
Couldn't triple minor.
I was like, I'll never be enough. And then, I thought people would care, but no one's ever asked, and it hasn't come up until right now.
Wait, really?
The thing you don't understand when you're in school is you don't need a minor.
You don't
anything.
Need a minor. You, no, you don't need a finish.
You just kind of need to get through it and try not to have student debt if it's a possibility for you. That would be my recommendation. Yeah.
Go abroad. Don't do dance marathon. Fuck that. They're going to raise money either way. Like,
get an affordable education if you can.
That? You know about Elon
I told
Bond?
You my sister went to Elon and she knew of you for one semester.
Well, why didn't you tell our listeners? They think I'm a nobody.
My sister knows exactly who you are. My sister went to Elon for her freshman year of college and then transferred.
She said he was that gay guy at Elon
but
Thon
she
shouting
was like,
at everyone.
She was like, oh yeah,
Jesus,
I knew
people.
Who Connor Chanda was. I did Elon Thon with him.
With the protruding elbows and shoulder bones.
Exactly.
Always in a sleeveless
That's
shirt.
That's how she described you.
With those tattoos, both of them that he got.
I was really fighting a lot of demons.
You had tattoos in college?
I got 2 tattoos when I lived in Baltimore the summer before senior year because I was working on the Martin O'Malley for President campaign, not working hard enough.
Oh my God. One of my brother's friends one time downloaded malware onto my brother's computer because he was trying to access the dark web to find nude pictures of Martin O'Malley.
Couldn't find my God. What's funny is one time at campaign headquarters, I
feel like you could just ask.
Yeah, he is very hot, but I opened my laptop and gay porn was playing. And at that point, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Slam it shut.
Yeah.
That is ultimately what I did.
Or just the anyone? Anyone?
And it was like, oh my, how
I've
much?
Been hacked. Slam it shut.
What the? What are they doing?
What are they doing? Why is he stuck?
Yeah.
What kind?
Whatever I feel like.
You are obsessed with stuck. You're obsessed with
it's the funniest one to me.
Wait, stuck like washing machine?
Like stuck in a washing machine.
I don't do a lot of washing machine.
I would, well, it costs me elevator.
And to be honest, I don't watch those either because they
a van door.
They're too funny to me to really be hot. But
wait, do you watch male porn?
Sometimes.
Oh, I'll start sending you stuff. Is that weird? Because sometimes I
don't
think things are funny.
Don't send me links because I don't want to get a virus, but you can send me like names to look up at my own leisure.
Because sometimes there are just like funny things that make me laugh, make me think of you.
I sent you the other day that I saw, I was on Twitter where some gay porn is, and I saw,
all the gay
I was
porn.
There's Allie Krieger, who is a soccer player. Her brother is a like porn actor and like has an OnlyFans and stuff, and he's super ripped and like makes these like really high quality porn videos. They're I don't know. So I always watch them on Twitter, the like little previews of them, because I'm too cheap to support sex workers, I guess. Anyway, but anyway, I was like just clicking on who he did one with, a collab with, and somebody replied to one of that guy's like thirst traps with a gif of Sabrina Breyer from like one of her videos, and I was like, if she knew where she was.
That's so funny.
Oh.
It was literally her being like, okay.
Well, I feel like now, especially that likes are gone on Twitter and kind of the whole algorithm has been redone. I feel like there's just a lot of gay porn popping up on my feed.
It's kind of most of what it is, I feel like. And
But Ace Carter. Do you know Ace Carter?
Of course I know Ace Carter.
Bro.
Bro. Literal bro.
Wait, we've gotten off topic of the film, bro. Okay,
I was in college. Classes. Art history and American studies, double major.
Okay, good for you.
That's cool with your invisible architecture show.
Yeah. That's my whole thing.
I love that.
Yeah.
Did you see Mona Lisa Smile?
I haven't seen it in a really long time, but I watched. I feel like it was like on TV in my house once growing up.
I feel like it marries the two things you love, which are film and art history.
Yeah.
And women.
Yeah. So the three things.
And an education with Carey Mulligan, too.
Yeah, with Carey Mulligan. And it's Julia Roberts, right?
And Mona Lisa,
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you like big on Letterboxd? Are you like into that?
Yeah, I'm a Letterboxd bro.
Hell yeah. Are you somebody who like wants your reviews to see and be seen and like
For a little while I was like, I feel like for a while I was like, I thought I was like very cool and I was like, I'm gonna do everything, and now I'm just like, I don't want to think of something after every movie I watch. So I feel like I've started doing a lot less like like reviews and just kind of like, here's what I think.
Because I feel like people in Letterboxd fall into two camps. They either are like trying to come up with the funniest little one-liner on there about the movie that's like kind of like an inside joke for anybody who's seen it, or they're trying to become the next like film critic.
Yeah.
Which honestly probably a good place to do if you want to actually be a film critic, but I feel like most people are just opining.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But what's your favorite seven, what's the movies that you like?
Your seven
favorite
movies?
My favorite
movies.
Seven movies.
What are good? I find talking about art that you like, because when I was younger in my 20s, someone said that Halsey was bad, that anytime you reveal something you like is so vulnerable.
Oh yeah. I never wanted kids to know when I was in high school what music I listened to. I found that to be the most vulnerable thing you could say.
So vulnerable. Yeah. I never thought I'd die alone.
What is that?
Adam's song by Blink-182.
Oh.
I laughed the loudest. Who'd have known?
Are you a Blink-182 head?
I've got a lot of emotion inside.
Yeah, so you got a lot to sort out.
But Halsey's like that too. Like Halsey can be kind of like, Lonely is the Muse. It's our new banger, and it's really good. It's fucking good. You should listen to it.
Okay, I will. Maybe I want to listen to her new album whenever it comes out. That's like three concept albums.
Can I send you just the songs that I like from it?
Please do.
And because like, never mind. It doesn't matter.
We are the new Americana.
That's not good. That's a Target commercial. The rest. if you had gone past the Target commercial, like kind of like, is Olivia Rodrigo more than Driver's License? I do think.
Yeah.
I've been poisoned by the culture. I think ever since, I think I've always kind of viewed, I'll love, I've always kind of viewed Halsey as a joke.
Oh, love.
Because, like, I think she's always kind of been a joke. So I've never been able to, like, look past it, to be honest. And that's a block that I have.
Yeah. And then it's, like, us fans.
And I celebrate the fans who are able to, you know, get past the commotion.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to learn who the other ones are. I can't wait to find out.
And if you're listening, write in.
Call in.
Okay, yeah. I would love to know formative movies for you. I would. I can start if that's... I feel like two of the most, like, formative things I saw as a kid... Well, three... Mean Girls was huge for me.
Yeah, totally.
School of Rock was huge for me. Bridesmaids was huge when I was in, like, I forget if I was like 8th grade high school. I forget when that came out. And then I feel like Good Will Hunting, when I saw that, that was one where I was like, oh, I can be deep. I can feel things.
Yeah, yeah.
Those were big for me, all of those, though. Yeah.
Those are all great pulls. I loved, like, growing up, I loved, like, the stupid, like, loved the, like, Will Ferrell comedies, especially, like, Talladega Nights. Mm-hmm. That was actually, I think, the first time I ever saw real boobs was when I wanted to watch Talladega Nights after I had already, like, watched it at a friend's house, and I was sick, home from school sick in, like, fourth grade, and I was like, Mom, can I rent Talladega Nights on, like, on demand? And she let me because she thought it was fine. But then I secretly rented the unrated version.
Good for you.
And I saw some woman...
Full frontal.
Flashes her boobs. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just, like, working so hard to see people's bits back
then. It's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy.
The kids don't know what they have.
I got in so much trouble
as a kid. You can just get on Twitter.
I got in so much trouble as a kid for, like, Googling penis or Googling...
stepdad porn.
I Googled Lindsay Lohan naked.
totally.
And my mom gave me a big lecture. She was like, people can see what you are searching. They will trace it back to your father and he will go to jail.
Bro, my dad told me
that. Trace it back to your father.
My dad told me that we couldn't watch porn because, one, it gives you unrealistic expectations about women. It's like, I have no expectations of women. And then, two, he literally was like, I will get in trouble.
Yeah, literally. But
that's,
I remember,
so funny.
I remember Googling, like, because I was curious. I remember at the computer, I just Googled, like, penis. And it was back when, like, Google, I mean, obviously it wasn't the primitive Google, but it was when, like, Google Images was a lot different.
Yeah.
You could just kind of, like, search it and it would come up. And there's one.
It'd always
video.
Be how to do a testicular check.
Yeah. But there's one picture that was, like, one of the first pictures that came up that was, like, a man, like, a kind of a hirsute man, like, crouching on a bed with his, like, all naked, just, like, with his junk hanging out. I don't know why I just said junk.
No, you can.
But if you call it, like, you say,
but, yeah,
junk,
exactly,
it sometimes it's
exactly.
junk.
And, like, now that I, like, think about it,
they're
like,
they're not all pretty.
They're not all pretty. Honey, most of them are. But some are handsome. Mm-hmm. But looking back, like, I've tried to find that picture again.
Yeah.
Never have been able to. But
it's,
I'm like, scrub. That is...
Formative
in my
head. Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think of the first time I ever... Like, because I was not... My parents were super... I've talked about this on the pod before. My parents were very, like, strict about that kind of stuff. Like, I never would have been able to rent... Like, I don't think I saw those, like, more raunchy Will Ferrell stuff until I was a bit older.
Yeah.
Like, well after they came out. Because my parents were just, like, not about me. They were very, like, strict about that with me. And so I was also, like, not... really privy to, like, that porn was even a thing.
Yeah.
I feel like also probably being conditioned growing up as a girl, like, that was not as much in my life.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of the first time I saw porn. It was probably, like, at a hangout something with, like, kids in high school who were like, let's put it on, as a joke. And I think that's probably the first time I ever saw anything. But
Paul Bettany's butt in Wimbledon, I would pause it. And then also, Paul Bettany was freaking out here mooning us all the time.
I used to pause. There was a video after the Pink Panther DVD. After the DVD, Beyonce was in that movie with Steve Martin, and after the DVD, there was one of her music videos, and there was a part where she would, like, shake her ass in, like, to camera, and I would just rewind and watch over and over again.
There's, in 13 going on 30, we would always, like, we would go over to, like, our family friend's house, and they had kids our age, and that was, like, always the movie we always wanted to
watch.
That's
such an iconic film.
Such an iconic film. But there's a part, I actually haven't seen it in years, but there's a part... soon after she, like, becomes an adult woman, she becomes Jennifer Garner,
I think so, right?
Yeah. Where she, like, goes home with this, like, hot blonde man, and he's, like, dancing around in his tidy whiteies.
He does a striptease.
And he does the striptease, and I, like,
hockey guy,
yeah. And I, like, I, like, as, like, a, like, 7 or 8 year old, I was like, this scene is so funny, and I kept rewinding it, like, in front of everyone, like, in front of all of my siblings and, like, my friends, and, like, oh, this is so funny. And they literally, like, went upstairs, they're like, Charlie won't stop rewinding the scene. And look, that is, like, one of my, like, cringiest memories looking back.
No,
of,
you were so young. Forgive
yourself.
So cute.
I'm forgiving myself right here and right now.
That's so funny. I also like the shamelessness that a 7 year old has to just be like, I'm obsessed with this and I don't care.
Yeah. That's your inner child.
That's my inner child, literally.
We're here to, that's Charty. We're here to be here for Charty today.
Thank you.
I love
it's
that.
Okay to want sex loudly, out loud, open. Yeah. Maybe not when you're seven, but like the other person's life.
But to be curious about
be curious about yourself, like, as a romantic
and physical being is yeah. totally normal. Period. Yeah,
wonder and
seven.
Wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think in the Catholic Church you were always seeing like Adam's kind of just like bush,
oh,
and like
yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Jesus kind of up there naked on the cross.
Absolutely,
and closed. It's awkward because it's like, I know, but they would kind of give you some V lines, some cum gutters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely would, and they would they call would. Him that. And we praise to the cum gutters, Lord, hear our prayer.
Our cum gutters who are in heaven,
hallowed be thy cum. Anyway,
wait, my favorite movie is Mistress America by Greta Gerwig. Do you even care?
I love that movie.
Thank you.
I love Frances Ha was a huge movie for me.
Young Adult Bite with Diablo Cody. Why Diablo Cody? Do you care
I've
about
never
that movie?
Seen that one.
You should really watch it later.
I probably should.
Same,
I
same
will.
Director as Juno.
Did yeah. you watch that?
I've seen Juno. I haven't seen Young Adult.
You should have us over to watch it.
Okay. I would love that. I would love nothing more.
What about your house?
I do literally live alone.
And
okay,
I have a TV.
So we'll come to yours.
We'll come to you.
And I have a TV. Yeah. You're right, you're right, you're right.
I would say my, back to like movies, mm-hmm. my, I feel like recently I've been really into like, as an adult, I've got really into like movies from like the 70s. Like I'm really cool. into like Midnight Cowboy is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Who's the main guy?
John Voight, who's sure. not a great guy now.
Angelina Jolie's dad.
I'm pulling up my letterbox to see what I've got saved.
I love the movie Nashville. It's a Robert Altman movie from 1975.
Nebraska.
Nebraska. That is that old woman, June Squibb.
Bruce Dern. She does have June Squibb.
Bruce
and
Stern.
Will Arnett, yeah.
Bruce Dern and Will Arnett. Yeah, 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 yeah. Which June Squibb's now in a new movie. She's like, there's a June Squibb vehicle and she's like
yes.
95.
Grandma Evil. Grandma no, Lady. Grandma no. on the Run.
Thelma.
Thelma. Wait, are you writing a movie?
Grandma Evil. I am not currently writing a movie.
Charlie, you
should
need
I
to
be?
Charlie, you need to be writing.
I'm writing other things, but I'm not writing a movie.
Charlie, you need to put me in your staff.
Connor, I'm obviously going to put you in our staff.
Connor came here to have a...
Do you need
actually,
a gay guy
this is crazy.
To put a gun to his head?
Evan Lazarus and I have been like working on,
yes!
working on writing something.
Good.
And like every time, like, because we've recently been trying to like flesh out characters and stuff, and every single character we're like writing, we're like, it's a blank type and it's just a different person in like Brooklyn comedy.
That's good.
And
that's
are
good.
Wait, and wait, what materials are you using? Where did you get them?
We are using materials from Connor Janda.
The people Connor Janda act, School of Screenwriting.
People act like I don't support gay guys. Well,
you
no,
do,
it's like
you
that.
Do.
I literally looked at you and I said, get in. But I literally looked at the two of you and I said, now you write.
Yeah.
And now in 5 years.
Your fairy godfather yeah. on his way.
Because my belief is in 5 years, I'll be down for the count.
Yeah.
I'll be at my lowest. I'll be a relapsing and then I'll get a call.
No,
I will. It's okay.
No, in 5 years, you will have not for you will have forgotten that the past. What was this quote?
I will be finding myself thinking about nothing related
Brooklyn,
to the past.
Brooklyn.
Exactly.
And in that movie, exactly. It does happen to be you're thinking about a 5'8" man. And if that's what it is, so be it.
He's hot in that movie.
He is really hot in that movie. It's amazing.
And ladies, if you're listening,
5'8" is tall.
Or gentlemen.
5'8" is tall.
Don't go down for a 5'8" man, though.
I would. Wait, I was thinking about you. Do you want to know why? Because on X, someone said that in the 1800s, the average height was 5'6". And I was like, we got to get you in some period pieces. We've got to get you in.
Seriously, I am the yeah. average height of, yeah, seriously. And where is casting doing their hard, diligent
you actually
work?
Would look great in a period piece.
Thank
like,
you.
Like imagining you in like a Pride and Prejudice.
Little top
like,
hat.
I saw the yeah. British. They're coming.
Buckets. Buckets.
Hey, Lord, hear our prayer.
That's a great porn. I would go hard for that.
What?
It would be total
coming?
Full bush. It'd be like, yes, the British are coming. Why is porn never a period piece?
There has got to be something called the British are coming buckets.
Have you never looked up like...
Like, people are making movies, but no one's making movies in that industry. Disruptive Films is trying. Do you know who that is?
Disruptive Films? Why yeah. do I know what that is?
Because they're trying.
It's a porn site.
They're kind of like
making
movies.
Oh, yeah. Why do I know what that is?
I was telling you guys, that guy Kyle Krieger, he is really putting a lot. I mean, I don't know what the budget is, but they are really lighting those things well.
But also, like, old porn used to be movies.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be, like, legit films.
It used to be a film industry, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Where's that in the where are they teaching that?
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. We need to, speaking of Midnight Cowboy, we need yeah. our old porn theaters back.
That's, I know. I feel like it would have been an interesting experience to be like in an actual, like in a porn theater.
I know.
I don't know if it would just be, were people just jacking off in there?
I think they must have been.
Yeah. Talk about a boys club.
But like, well. I think that's why no one has sex anymore, is because there's no shame to masturbating anymore.
I worry about that. Sometimes
that
it's like,
thinking about this. So interesting. That there is a lot of truth to that, I think.
Like, it's like if you used to want to like masturbate and have like porn to watch, you have to go do it in a literally go leave your house and like go to a movie theater and pay to like watch it with a bunch of other men who are trying to like shadily masturbate.
Yeah.
No, there's nothing like getting off no eyes
like
on,
you
yeah.
think it's
just in the corner alone.
But then I'm sure when you're doing that, you're thinking like, this boy, this sure is inconvenient. I'd love to just have sex with a person.
Yeah. Yeah. But especially then, when you're like in an environment where there's also other people around you too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But you're so right, because I feel like we're at this exact like moment in time where like, men are being asked to be better. Yeah. Straight men especially are being asked to be better and be like better in like sexual relationships with women and just like dating relationships with women, at the same time that women are making more money, feeling more autonomous, and are encouraged, and it's not shameful to masturbate. They're like everywhere, every, you know, one is talking about their vibrator or this or that.
Yeah,
and so it's kind of like this weird thing. And then straight people are not having as much sex because of this.
Yeah.
I think you're onto something.
Straight people aren't having sex anymore.
I mean, I think at least like, there's some crazy numbers about like how many men have like never had sex.
Yeah, like men under 30 are having sex at like an alarmingly low rate.
Wait, this is kind of fucked up. So like I was Googling,
not the gay guys,
30-year-old life existential crisis just to prepare for that in the future. And there was the first thing that came up was this woman who said she was 30 and going through a life crisis. And she was like, and I was like, oh, this sounds like this is normal. And she's like, I'm 30, I'm going through a life crisis, I'm a virgin, blah, blah. I was like, oh my girl, so, I gotta count my blessings. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine
when you
that.
Think it's bad, it could be worse.
Right, I was like, right, I didn't realize they were just walking around out there. Like, never.
And if any of the boys out there are virgins,
unbutton.
That's great.
You can pay someone.
Well, we want you to at your own pace. But yeah, feel encouraged to get out there and have a sexual relationship.
This is not a sex positive podcast necessarily, but what I will say
is it is.
I feel like sex romance. This might be like.
I hope I'm not coming across as sex positive. By the way,
are you sex negative?
I'm not sex positive.
You're not a side, be, though. You can't be side-y. Raised Catholic.
Girl, I've
be...
told you this.
See, look, you're looking community in the eye right now.
It's hard for a side.
I know.
Yeah.
Did I tell, was it on this podcast that I said that guy said, I don't consider this sex?
Yes, you said that earlier, maybe an hour ago.
He said that to me.
That's evil.
Evil.
Anything is sex.
Anything is sex.
Anything is sex.
And well, especially if you're trying to lose your virginity, folks out there, anything.
Beggars can be choosers.
I feel like if you're straight, there's a definition of sex. But if you're gay, anything is sex.
Yeah,
you
and
know
I've,
what I mean?
I've mentioned that to you before. It's something I always find very odd about, like, specifically gay men. Because I think queer women and lesbians and trans people, like, I think it just, like, the your literal, like, the physical body allows itself for so much more to be considered sex.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, just express, you know, be, it is what you want it to be. And some, and then I feel like gay men find themselves, like, reestablishing these hetero norms of, like, there is a person who is receiving and a person who is giving. And, like,
bro, what you are saying right now literally put you on the 92nd Street Y stage. Because
everyone's trying to be a Lego piece.
Do you? It's so interesting. Women, and I rephrase that. Non-cis gay men, I even think straight men, maybe, perhaps. I actually need to ask more straight men this, and I will today. I when to hear
the
what
rest of this podcast is us polling. On the street.
Yes, sideism is not confusing to them. They consider it preference. Sideism is only confusing to cis gay men, but like other people outside of that community, like, don't are just like, that's a preference
yourself.
That you have. It's very interesting.
Because cis gay men just want to like be the man or the woman. Like they just want to like fit in as easily as possible.
And it's so, to me at least, as an outsider on the community, it feels like a very transparent, like, internalized homophobia, internalized, like, this is the way we must do things, kind of thing.
Well, that guy, this one guy that I dated one time, I forgot his name even, he was like,
me too.
He was like, I feel like we should be having penetrative sex because we're gay guys. Like, he said that sentence.
And it's like
the mask you live in, the mask you live in.
Literally, take 2 seconds to think about what you just said out loud.
And it's like, I feel like we should be being nice to each other because we're dating.
Yeah.
So like, now that we're just like getting it all out there.
Now that we're talking about expectations of identity.
Performing like for an invisible audience.
And here's what I'll say. Like, if that is something that you need,
and if you want to do that,
okay,
honey, go to an open mic.
Honey, literally. Or go to a porn theater.
It's okay to need things. There's nothing wrong with needing things. My confusion was always like, but what you're saying,
do you want
does
it?
Not describe a need. So like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Anyway, I feel like I made it all about me.
Put him
no,
in
I'm
a,
glad
put
you
him
did.
In your
Connor,
chair and tell him.
I want to say the side, I can't think of the right word, the Ism. Side scholarly work that you've been doing on this podcast and kind of throughout Brooklyn Comedy.
Manifesto, some have said.
Very, very seen, very appreciated. Yeah. Very validating.
I think
the side
so
manifesto. The side project is working.
Yeah. What is it? Project 2020. Yeah.
We're project 2020.
Side. Wait, project 2020 side.
Oh my God.
Or just the... Honey, I'm waiting for your
side. I'm sorry.
I'm waiting for your side project to be the main gig.
Wait, November 14th, I have a slot at
Charlie.
Coming.
You just got hired at Project 2020 side.
Yes,
I have.
Obviously,
a slot.
I have to do communication.
That's gonna be title of the episode. Sorry, guys.
I have a slot at Club Coming for. It's not New York Comedy Fest. I didn't apply. I didn't think it mattered. I didn't realize people cared about it this year.
No,
sorry.
It doesn't. No one.
No,
has
but
to
people
it.
Are really into it. Someone told me it was the new JFL, and that person
that's not
is
true.
Important.
That person is lying.
To diminish you and your accomplishments.
No, please. It's not a real festival.
He gets out his JFL shirt.
Oh, well, that's a real festival that is defunct.
No. But what? Yes, but, it's not like it's like. Yes.
But I'm saying that
jail.
New York Comedy Festival is not a real festival.
But I have a slot in that time, and I'm honestly now gonna have to call it Project 2020 Side.
Please.
But I'll definitely
Side Manifesto.
Because like, yeah, I'll reference you. I really like this conversation.
Thank you. I did just want to make sure I got credit on that.
No, I will. I'll give you credit for that. I'll give you credit for the poster. I need a poster. And I'll
I'm not making your poster. You have a Canva.
I'll make you a poster.
You make me a poster? I want you to talk more because I feel like it's your episode. I feel like
well, I think we should
so
get to
much.
our last question.
What's we doing? Finish with
what the only question.
What's
left?
The thing that you want to?
Are have you really been gone from the podcast for this long that you don't even remember our three questions?
So much is because I feel so good. Like
I mean, you haven't even touched the kombucha, so I think it's just us by osmosis.
And
it's
now
getting to you.
You know, and won't
imagine
kombucha.
Him. Imagine him wants his guts in order.
Don't talk about my gut.
It's actually this is just a state of gratitude. Just having the kombucha.
I can't tell if there's
it's
anything
a,
in
it's
it or
a token.
Not.
I'm also really loving that you went with the fall edition. Honestly, apple, turmeric, spices, and carrot sounds good.
Do you want some?
You haven't even cracked it. I can't take the first sip.
I did crack it though.
Okay. Well, let's ask the last question.
What's a boys club you want to see in the world?
Okay. So I was thinking about this. A, obviously before I came here, I was doing laps around the park.
Of course.
Just waiting. And I saw a man sitting at one of the picnic tables with overlooking a blueprint that had covered the whole picnic table. He was like this old, really skinny looking man with like long white hair and a beard and a baseball cap on. He was fully smoking a cigar. Just sitting at a picnic table, kind of poring over this blueprint. I couldn't see what it was a blueprint for.
I love the characters of New York.
So I was thinking I want to be part of his club, whatever it is, or I want him to make a club.
I
want to
know what the blueprint was for.
I know. I'm like,
say blueprint in a second way.
Blueprint?
Yeah.
You don't know what a blueprint is?
Well, like a blueprint for a
blueprint
city.
For, it's like an architectural drawing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the.
Yeah, I guess blueprint does give like.
Like Mike Brady on the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Had blueprints.
It gives like how it's made.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I should say, I'm saying
an outline,
I'm misleading because it was white paper. It wasn't blue paper.
But you know, because you've got the eye for architecture.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. That's so fascinating.
Yeah.
There's like, I also today was in the same park. We won't name it to where we live, but I sent Connor a picture of this. I'll show it to you too. I just saw like, it was so quiet out there and it was just a group of three, four people meditating together.
I saw them too.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, when I was there, they were doing like ab workouts. So I think they got calm.
Okay,
and
so maybe it's yoga. But when I walked by, I was like, is this a small cult? Like
they look like the hostages on Kimmy Schmidt. Don't
yes.
they, honestly?
Yes, yeah. Yes, they really do.
What does she say? I'm proud to be brainwashed. It means I've got a clean brain.
That's funny.
Unbreakable. They're alive. Damn it. It's a miracle.
That pilot, the joke hating is insane.
They also hit the perfect time to be using those, like that intro. It was like the exact right time to be doing those like weird YouTube compilations.
Shmo-yo-ho.
Yeah, of somebody on the news. I used to fucking love those.
I used to be obsessed with those.
Yeah. There was one, there's a leprechaun in a tree. I can't remember what that one was from.
You know the one where the lady's like talking about like being at a bank for a robbery and she's like, I'm backing up. Because my daddy taught me good. Really good stuff.
Oh, that was peak YouTube comedy.
Yeah.
God, I wonder what his blueprint was for or what he was up to.
I know, I'm very curious about it. But I do love just like that kind of person, and I love the idea of like bringing it to the park.
Yes.
To like look over it there.
Getting the inspiration from the great outdoors.
Yeah. I feel like I do that a lot too when I'm like going to the park to work, said with air quotes, which means I just like take my laptop to that same park and like do the crossword puzzle.
I always
go home.
I always want myself to be somebody who can work at the park, but I get real distracted real quick.
Same here. But I just love that kind of person.
Yeah.
I wish he would start a club so that I could be a part of it.
Clothes.
Well, he was sitting down, so I couldn't really tell, but it was just like, you know, when there's kind of just like an old guy in New York who's just like wearing anything.
I also love that
like it just looks like he's clothes he's had forever.
I love the old guys that play the organ and the piano and sing.
Oh my God. I had to do Who's On First in, 8th grade for World War II Day. We had a bunch of World War II, not really veterans because they were all dead, but people who lived through World War II come and do an oral history day at my school. And because I was in the theater class, that was my theater background. Me and this one other kid had to do Who's On First for them at lunch.
Wait, first of all, it's a pretty timeless bit, I would say.
Like, it really
holds up because it's just so like tight and funny. It's funny to me that they were like, you know what these veterans want to see? A couple of theater kids do Who's On First during their lunch break.
Like two like chubby theater kids. actually, I'm pissed because that guy got to be Augustus Gloop over me in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
When do people stop doing real musicals?
What do you mean?
That's not a real musical.
Well, it was middle school. It was 8th grade.
And honestly, better
than... I was doing Fiddler on the Roof.
Well, I'm sure you were.
Well, we've talked about this before. I think it's probably good that they were doing something age-appropriate and not making them pretend to be beggars in 18th century France.
Wait, you're so right.
What's really sad is that this kid got to be Augustus Gloop over me. I won't say anything, but I will say that his mom was basically helping run the whole show.
Where's he now?
He has a weird girlfriend now, and he has weird teeth. I never thought he was going
to
have a girlfriend.
I'm getting Invisalign.
Oh, why? You have nice teeth.
No, I'm getting Invisalign.
You have beautiful teeth.
I'm getting Invisalign.
Save the money for something else, maybe.
But in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I knew
Factory,
you were going to bring up my spending.
No. Save the money for something else, maybe.
Listen, between that and the Grindr Plus,
I really do need to get someone in here. My mom was like, maybe our person can meet with you. And then my dad said, no, that's not how he works. My parents have a person. My mom makes
financial
money.
Planner.
My dad manages it.
Uh-huh.
And by
your mom makes money, your mom makes dollars, your dad makes sense.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. My dad's a teacher, my mom's a lawyer.
Oh, I love it. It's giving Tim Walls.
Charlie, you have had some zingers today. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wait,
well,
that's like Walls Harris.
So INTJ is, like is my soulmate. Harris. Do you find the way my brain works to be exciting?
I do. I find it very exciting.
Galaxy brain.
Titillating.
If you're not an INTJ, I don't want to talk. Like, I don't mean like, I mean like,
fuck me, I guess.
No, I don't mean that. I
know. We have no romantic sparks. So.
We really don't. Could you imagine?
Literally not.
Oh my God.
I think that's I am funny. An INTJ. I'm going to walk with that in the world now.
My ex is an ENFJ though.
I wasn't, that was my
the
original.
The one we're thinking of? Because he's nothing like me. And
are you an ENFJ?
Right?
I was like, got all these ENFJs pulling me in different directions.
ENFJ was what I
well,
got
he wasn't pulling hard enough.
Like, 7th grade, I was like an ENFJ.
Oh, you've changed that much?
And then I think I was like, I was lying to myself and everyone.
You're a classic
but
INTJ.
I also just like, and I know this is so like people, introverts get their energy from being alone and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, and I think the introvert-extrovert spectrum is, I feel like I'm really somewhere in the middle because I think we have extroverted jobs and I can like turn it on if I want to, but I also don't really like to talk to people.
My mom's addicted to being like, I think I'm just a vert.
Who likes to talk to people?
Okay, me and your mom would really get along.
You and my mom would
I need
really
to talk to her.
Along.
Yeah.
What, Sally?
Is she in Virginia still?
My parents live in D.C. proper now.
So one train right away.
One train right
away.
I have
two brothers and two cousins after the election. So.
Oh, really? My
Can
brother
they go to his show on November 8th?
Yeah, they
yeah,
will.
Send him my way.
Absolutely
send
totally
him my way.
My brother and sister, my whole family except for me lives in D.C.
Yeah,
my brother and sister live together.
Don't you
Charlie's
feel
family's
like
listening. I'm coming to D.C. if you want to see my show.
I guarantee you they're listening. I'm
fuck yeah.
Suffocated
I'll be
by
there.
Support.
Me too. I'll be there November 11th. No, November 8th and 9th. Okay.
It's crazy that
November 11th is Maddie's birthday.
I feel personally, do you feel like it's like you're like, oh, I live in New York. I feel left out. But you're like kind of bragging at the same time because you're like, I live in a better place.
Exactly that. Yeah.
It's like, I forget what the suburbs are like.
Yeah, no, in DC. That's an amazing city for art in museums.
Yeah.
Like
literally.
Whereas like we're doing it here.
Once I saw all the art in the museums, I was like, time to go.
Yeah. Goodbye, Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Hello, hello life.
Yeah. Oh my God. Charlie, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh God, this was
so
much
this was a dream
it's
guest.
Over.
I'm so
it
sad
is, unfortunately,
it's over.
But it's our first guest of season two, and we're off to a fucking great start.
Terrible twos.
Terrible twos. Charlie, do you want to plug? We can plug your show again or anything
Bye.
Else you got coming up.
Sure.
Or?
I'm doing my half hour at Night Horse called
I do
Charty.
Feel sad.
Why are you? Oh, you're sad that we're leaving?
It does feel sad.
Be happy that it happened.
Yeah.
I actually think, wait, when this comes out, I think it'll be like this, because it's next week, no?
It's next Thursday, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so this October Thursday, 3rd. As you're listening
this
to this.
This Thursday.
This is perfect timing.
At Night Horse in Greenpoint, October 3rd. And you can follow me on Instagram at Charlie Flynn with four N's for some reason.
Beautiful.
Or on Twitter at ChartyPF.
Awesome. And we'll tag you and everything in the show notes. And yeah, check out, we have links to our next Boys Club shows, our
October 8th. List. It's $5 tickets.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of a chaotic half hour with a bunch of like doing, new freaky stuff.
Yeah, we're doing longer sets. I don't know.
I had so much fun on your show, can I say?
Thank
when
you.
I did Boys Club,
you were
it was
incredible.
The best time.
We had
Thank
so you. You were such a great, yeah, everybody had such good things to say about your
You
your
never
your
got paid,
set,
though.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah, have
was
we
I
paid people yet?
To?
No. Be mad at me.
Okay, well, you will get paid. He's getting veneers.
We have a check. He's never cashed.
He's embezzling Boys
interesting
Club.
Interesting Invisalign, Connor.
Sponsored by Boys Club. Anyway, all
ever
of our...
Ever since Julian got a girlfriend, he doesn't care about me anymore.
And that's why the check won't cash. Sure. We're keeping... Yeah, we're holding our money in limbo. Anyway, links to all of our tickets and to any listener question forms that was, we'll do listener question episodes all in the link in the bio or on the show notes, whatever. I think that's everything, yeah?
Meow.
Okay, we'll smooch on three. One, two, three. What's up, boys at home? Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Boys Club. Connor, where can they find you on Instagram?
At Connor Janda, C-O-N-O-R. Janda is panda with a J.
And you can follow me at Nico Carney, N-I-C-O-C-A-R-N-E-Y. You can follow us both at Boys Club Comedy on Instagram. And we have a live show.
Our live show is at Club Coming, typically on the last Friday of the month, and it is always the two of us and some of our favorite funny people, and we'd love to see you there.
Yeah, often people from the podcast, so come check those out. If you live in New York, we'd love to see you there. Bye, boys.
Bye, boys.